Hello and thank you for listening to Shofar Almana's Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message and that it will inspire you in your walk with God.
Welcome everybody. Good morning to all of you. Let's quickly pray before we start. Father God, we just worship you and magnify you and glorify you in this place. Lord, we thank you for what you're already busy doing in our lives and in our hearts. And we just say, Holy Spirit, that you are welcome here. As we sang earlier, you are so welcome here. You are our honorary guest. We just declare that it's all about you. And that you can come and have your way with us here this morning. We surrender to you. We give over to you. We ask that you will come and touch our lives. That you will come and change our lives. That our lives will never be the same again after this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, that was some awesome prophetic time. So I'm going to try and just carry on in that same spirit. What I'm going to speak to you about this morning is the word rest. So I really felt that the Lord showed me as I was preparing that there's a whole bunch of us, or most of us, that's really tired. Now I know that it's this time of the year, where usually we're getting closer to the end, we're getting closer to December, the seasons are changing, the weather is getting better, but for some reason, people get tired this time of the year. And I just believe that the Lord has a word in season for each and every one of us this morning, no matter where you are at. So what happened is a while ago, I did a study in the Word on the word evil. So, you know, these days you've got all these fancy concordances and all these fancy stuff online that you can really, it makes it so much easier to really study the Word of God and to find like the Greek and the Hebrew and the root words and just find how it's translated in different places in the Bible. So I can't even remember why I was looking at the word evil, because it's actually quite negative and I'm actually quite a positive person. But for some reason I just had this feeling in my heart that I want to just look at the word evil and what is it and where does it come from and what's the root of it and so on. And as I was studying the Bible and looking at all these things, I was so surprised when I found that the word evil in the Bible sometimes are translated busy. There's actually quite a few places in the Bible where that same word is translated being busy or busyness in the Bible. And I just had such a revelation in that moment. And I realized that work, we all know that the word for work in the Bible is also the same root word as the word worship. So work is worship, but busyness is evil. And there's a huge difference. So we know that to work is godly. We know that God placed Adam and Eve in the garden and he said to them, just be fruitful, multiply, and take dominion. I love to call it the dominion mandate. Okay, so you were called to take dominion wherever you are. You were called to rule and reign. You were called to dominate, as young people would say in these days. You were called to dominate where you are, but you were called to cultivate whichever area you are at. Okay, whether that's in business or ministry or whatever, you were called to cultivate and to work. So work is really part of our worship unto God, and there's a glory in that. And I think all of us will agree with me when I say that. But then, like we know that the devil loves to take what God is doing. What happened when the devil fell is he wanted the worship that came to God, he wanted it for himself. And he said, like, look at me, I'm so wonderful, I want people to worship me as well. And it's very similar what the devil is doing in work, is that he's taking something that's really godly and good and glorious, and he's, if the devil can't stop you, he'll push you. Okay. If the devil can't stop you to do something, if the devil can't stop you to worship God, and if the devil can't stop you to work and to glorify God in your work, he will turn around and he will start pushing you from the back. And you know what happens when you run full out? I don't know if that happened to you at school, but you would run full out and someone faster would just give you a push from the back. And then you just can't run fast enough and you just fall forward. And that's what the enemy wants to do of us in busyness. Okay, he wants to keep you so busy in this world that it actually becomes a thing that steals from you in your life. It becomes something that it steals from your relationships. It steals from who you are as a person. And it just steals from what God wants to do in this world. And I know in today's world, I think all of you will agree, it's so easy to become busy with social media and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and all those things. The internet, whale festivals, you know, like all these things that are happening. It's so easy for the devil to keep us busy. And for us to not really get to the real things that brings life to us. Okay, so what is the antidote? We see that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, and then we saw that on the 7th day, God rested. So, I think all of you agree that if God needed to rest from his work, then we really need to rest as well. Okay, if God, who actually doesn't even get tired, okay, if he had to rest, then how much more do we have to rest? Okay, how much more do we need it? And why did God institute that day, that Sabbath day? It's because you are created in the image of God, and because everything is from God, if God didn't institute that day, you would have never been able to rest. It's a spiritual principle. Okay, it first happens in the spirit, it first happens with God, and then it manifests in our lives, and it manifests on the earth. So God had to institute that day of rest to empower you to be able to rest. Okay, because the kingdom works is, we look in the face of Jesus Christ. We all know that scripture. And what we see in the face of Jesus Christ, what we see in Christ, then manifests in our lives. And then we are transformed from glory to glory to glory. But we first see it in God. Okay, so that's why we read the Bible and we saw that, yes, God worked hard for 6 days, and then on the 7th day, he actually rested. So, if we see that God rests, then we can actually tap into that rest. So, we saw in the Old Covenant that it was quite a big deal for God, the whole Sabbath thing. He wanted people to rest. It was really big for him. But then, obviously, we know that we're not in the Old Covenant anymore. And we're not resting on a Saturday anymore, because in the Old Covenant, it was on a Saturday that they rested. But we know that in the New Covenant, things have changed. So whom of you just quickly can think of that? Like, what actually changed? If you think about rest and if you think about the new covenant, what has changed in terms of that in the new covenant? How does it work in the new covenant? Okay, I'm not going to ask you to answer. I just wanted you to use your brain. Usually people come to church and they switch off their brains. I want you to keep it switched on for the next while. So the first scripture I have there is Mark 2, verse 27 to 28. And it says, obviously Jesus speaking, and he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath." So that is a new covenant picture of how the Sabbath looks like in a new covenant. Okay, so that first verse is so powerful for me. And that first verse you can actually apply to everything in your life. in a new covenant. And it's interesting, Jesus said, the Sabbath was not made for man, was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. What did Jesus mean by saying that? Okay. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. It's obviously that for God, you are more important than anything else. And He created the Sabbath because He loves you. And all those principles that we see in the Word of God, those principles aren't there just for you to go, okay, this is right and this is wrong. It's for you to understand that He's given that to you as a gift. Okay, He's given it to you as a blessing because He loves you. So the reason why God instituted the Sabbath was because He loves His people, He loves you, and He understands you better than you understand yourself. And He understands that you actually need to rest. Okay, but it was never this thing to be this huge thing that controlled people and put people in a box. It was there to be a blessing. Okay, so that's just a side note. You can take anything in the Word of God and you can see God's heart in that. And that's what Jesus was trying to tell His disciples. Listen, yeah, and the Pharisees, like, they just like, the Sabbath, the Sabbath, the Sabbath. And He said, no, you're missing the point. The Sabbath was made as a blessing for man, and not man to bless the Sabbath. Okay, and that's what religion always wants to do. It wants to switch things around. Okay, it wants the cart in front of the horse. But then Jesus goes on and He says, "Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath." So we're going to touch on that a bit earlier, but in the new covenant, Jesus is the Sabbath. In the new covenant, the Sabbath isn't this Sunday or Saturday or whatever day you want to call it. That's what Paul said. We're not having Sabbaths and new moon festivals and all these things that we don't focus on a day anymore. Our focus is turned to Christ. And now in the new covenant, Christ is our Sabbath. And that's basically the core of my message this morning. I gave it away. The core of my message today is that Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. So we can go on to the next verse. And we see there that Hebrews 4, verse 9 to 11, says the following. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. So what he was trying to say there is that Israel went into the promised land, but even while they were in the promised land, they didn't rest. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to explain to people that there was another rest that the Old Covenant spoke about. The Old Covenant prophesied about a rest, the true rest of God that would come in the New Covenant. So it says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Verse 10, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from His. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from His. Powerful scripture. When you enter into that Sabbath, you cease from your own works. Okay? Just like God, on the seventh day, after He's created everything, He ceased from His works, and He entered into that rest. In a new covenant, there's a rest for us that the moment when we enter into that, we cease from our works. And I'm going to explain it a bit later. Verse 11 says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Okay, so he's referring there to the Israelites that couldn't enter that rest. But what's powerful there is that let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. So what first thing that the Bible says is that when you enter into that rest, you're going to cease from your own works. So what is it referring to when it talks about your own works? It refers to striving. Okay, it refers to self-effort. It refers to selfish ambition. It refers to all those things, all those striving and and our own efforts and trying to do things in our own strength, the moment when we enter into that rest, we cease from those efforts. Okay, we cease from that works. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, he calls in Hebrews 6, he talks about the foundational principles of Christianity. And the first thing that he mentions is repentance from dead works. If you look at that, the root word of that, dead works, it doesn't talk about sin actually there. It talks about your own efforts. It talks about your own works that you're trying to do in your own strength. It talks about self-righteousness. And the moment when you enter into that rest of Jesus Christ, you cease from those works just disappear. Okay, that striving just falls away. Okay, that self-righteousness just disappears. The performance of this Christian life just goes away. But what's interesting is that he says, be diligent to enter that rest. So what he's trying to say there is that you must be deliberate in your life to enter in. Okay, so we must be deliberate. You have to exercise your will. That's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to say. You have to make a choice and you have to exercise your will to enter into that place. Okay. He's not going to force you to enter into that rest. You're going to have to do it yourself. And how does that look like practically for us that's already Christians, for us that already believe in Jesus Christ? It's very practical. It's literally is plan your day and plan your schedule with times of just soaking, with times of just resting, with times of you just decide, okay, I'm going to put away my phone, I'm going to put away my computer, I'm going to put away what else that's keeping me busy, the things of this world, I'm going to put away the newspaper, I'm going to put away the TV, I'm going to switch off the television, and I'm going to be deliberate in entering into that rest. My wife and a bunch of our friends were actually, I think in 2 weekends' time, we're actually going to go away for the weekend, and we call it a quiet retreat. And the whole focus of our weekend is just that we are not allowed to speak to one another. We're not allowed to be on our phones. We're not allowed to do anything out there. We are for the entire weekend, we're going to just sit in His presence. For the entire weekend, we are just going to listen to what's on His heart. For the entire weekend, we are just going to spend time with our Heavenly Father. Okay, and we've heard about these retreats, and the testimonies that's coming out of these retreats are just amazing. The encounters that people are having with Jesus and with the Heavenly Father is just absolutely amazing. And it's just absolutely life-changing. People's lives are being changed by just putting a weekend away and saying, Lord, this is your weekend. Okay. I'm going to take away all distractions, take away all this busyness, and I'm just going to focus on you. And, isn't that just what it's all about? It's about Him. Like, it's not about what we're trying to do. It's not about our own ambitions. It's really just about Him and what He wants to do and what He wants to say to us and how He wants to restore us. So you can go on to the next one. So this is just such a beautiful scripture for me. In Matthew 11, we all know the scripture. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 29. And it says, again, Jesus speaking, and He says, come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So that's what I really believe Jesus is saying to each and every one of us this morning. It's come to Me, all of you who are tired and heavy laden, and you're busy with a lot of work and a lot of busyness. If you come to Me, I will give you rest. And then verse 29 says, take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus says, come to Me and learn from Me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So there's something that I really felt while I was preparing and while I was looking at this verse was There's certain people here this morning, and you are feeling so far away from God. And you feel like, almost like God has deserted you. Or you feel like, yes, I don't know if God loves me that much anymore. I feel like I'm a disappointment to God. And like you had a time in your Christian life when you were a young Christian where you experienced God's presence and His love so much. I mean, it was just an absolute joy. If you opened up the Word, you would just experience God and get revelation from the Word, and you would experience His love and His joy, and you just had this absolutely amazing love relationship with God. But what happened is, life became busy. Okay, kids came into the picture, studies, work, I don't know what else, you got married, like life just became busy, and all of a sudden you just feel like, God, far away, like, you're not experiencing that love anymore. You're not experiencing that presence anymore. But what the Lord wants to say to you this morning is that He has not changed. He's still that same God. He's still that same person. He's still that same Jesus that you experienced when you were a young Christian, when you experienced just a year or a few years ago. He's that same person. And that was what Jesus is saying there, as He's saying that, come to me and you will learn from me again that I am gentle and I'm lowly in heart. And I sense that the Holy Spirit is showing me that there's people and you're struggling with condemnation. Because you're not experiencing that anymore, you feel like that you did something wrong. The enemy is saying to you that you've changed. Okay? That you've done something wrong, that you've messed it up. Okay? And now God doesn't want to spend time with you anymore. Now God is looking at you, and where in the past God looked at you and was like, wow, I'm so proud of you. Wow, I'm so like happy when I look at you, and you this divine smile, and all of a sudden the enemy is telling you that, no, God has changed. Okay? He's not looking at you in that way anymore. But what the Lord wants to say to you is that's an absolute lie. And that is condemnation. And He's coming this morning, and He's taking away that condemnation. And what He's saying to you is that He still feels the same about you. He still loves you just as much. He is still smiling over you. And He still wants to spend time with you. Okay. Nothing has changed from His side. The only thing that changed was these lies that came in. And these lies came in because of busyness. You didn't become some bad person overnight. It was busyness that came into your life. And that busyness caused you to not abide in the truth. Okay. And the moment we not abide in the truth constantly, okay, the truth of God's Word and the truth of His presence, because Jesus is the person of truth. So as we not keep on abiding in that, it's these subtle lies that's coming in, subtly coming in and telling you, yeah, you've changed. You've become a bad person. God doesn't love you that much anymore. Okay? He's not excited about you that much anymore. You're not. Wait, I really sense there was people you felt so special as a Christian. You felt so special in your relationship with God, and now the devil is telling you like, no, you're not special in God's eyes anymore. Okay, and that is all of that is absolute just lies. And the Lord is coming, and He's just taking away these lies this morning, just like that. And He's bringing in His truth again, and He's stirring up faith inside of your heart. And that's what Jesus was saying there, is come to me, I am gentle, and I am lowly. I'm not coming to condemn you. I'm not coming to tell you like, oh, you were a bad boy, or you were a bad girl because you were busy. He's coming, and He's saying to you, I understand. I understand where you're coming from. I understand where you are at in your life. But you can still come whenever you want to. I'm standing there and I'm waiting for you. And you can just It's as easy as making a choice, getting up and going to Him. Because He's still waiting there. The next verse says, 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, and He says, and He said to me, so this is Paul. Paul was praying, and then Jesus spoke to him, and He said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul answered, and he said, rather, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. So, the Lord is saying to you this morning, that in your weakness, His strength is perfected. In your weakness, the place where you are at, where you feel so weak and you feel so condemned and you feel so far away from God, God is saying, like, it's in that place of weakness where my power can come and rest upon you. So if you look at Jesus' life, every single miracle that Jesus did, He did out of surrender to His Heavenly Father. The miracles that He did through surrender. And that today is still a key for each and every one of us in your personal faith. What produces faith in your life? Not striving and not performance. But faith is resurrected through surrender. Okay? Faith gets kindled through surrender. The moment when you surrender, the moment when you just give over and say, Lord, I'm going to cease from my own efforts. I'm going to cease from my own works. And I'm going to give over and I'm going to surrender. That's where your faith starts to rise up again. Because if you read the Bible, you'll see that Paul always says, it's either through the works of the law or through faith in Jesus Christ. He makes a distinction. It's either through your performance, or it's through faith in Jesus and surrendering to Him and allowing Him to come and do it in your life. So how does that work? So the moment we surrender, what is that place of surrender? It's that place of understanding that He's already done it at the cross. Everything, every single need that you have, every single thing that you're contending for, every single prayer that you're praying, He's already bought that at the cross. And your faith is not your efforts to try to get God to do something. This is so important for you to understand. Faith, or your faith, is not your efforts to try and turn the arm of God or try to get God to do something. Faith, true biblical faith, is to understand that He's already done it. That is true biblical faith. It's understanding that He has already done it. And the moment when you understand that He's already done it, then you respond. And that's why James said, my faith, I will show you my faith through actions. So the moment when you understand that He's already done it, then you will act. Then, because it's done. You know, it's not. The reason why we are caught up in powerlessness is because we're still trying to convince God to do something. But if you understand that He's already done it, then you will act. So I remember once I was in a meeting. It was actually here in Amana. We had a Christian camp. And I was leading the camp and I was praying. And I was saying, God, just come and touch your people. We were in worship and I was praying. And I said, God, just come and touch your people. Like, just Holy Spirit, come and move. And I was just like contending and praying and say, Lord, just come and do something. And the next moment, the Lord spoke to me and He said to me, Stoffel, I've already done it. 2,000 years ago, I took the whole of mankind into me and I died on the cross. And that's where I've touched every single person. 2,000 years ago, I've touched every single person. 2,000 years ago, I've transformed every single person's life. Okay. So I've already done it. And it was such a revelation for me. You know, it's one of those moments where God just speaks to you and something just clicks inside of you. And I just realized, like, wow, Lord, so why am I can just go and act. I can just go and act in that truth already and just release that truth over people's lives that you've already done. Okay? So that's just some practical example, but that's the same when in all of our, in any area of your life. That's where true faith comes from. It's through the gospel. That's why we sang that song that He's already done it. Freely He gave it all. It's free. It's a gift. Okay? And what faith is, just, okay, Lord, I understand. You've already given that gift. I'm just going to respond to that. I'm just going to respond my faith to that. And that's, and I really just believe the Holy Spirit is doing this morning. It's just saying, yeah, you may feel weak. Okay? You're feeling weak. You're feeling tired. You're feeling down and out. But the Holy Spirit is saying, that's just where I want you. Because now you can surrender. Now you can cease from your own works and from your own performance. And then my power is perfected. Then my power can come and rest upon you. And then you will see where in the past you were like, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this and this and this. The Lord is saying, we all know this Old Testament scriptures where it says, how often did God say to Israel, stand back and see the victory of the Lord? So often God said to Israel, just stand back and just observe the victory of the Lord. And I believe that that is the word for each and every one of us this morning. Just stand back and observe the victory of the Lord. And that is, you know, that's what the Lord is doing. Just a small testimony when My wife and I, we were about to go on mission trips. So I went to one country and my wife went to a different country. But we went roughly around the same time. So it was very interesting. So that was quite a few years ago. So what was very interesting is before, say the week before this mission trip, I was like pushing in. Like I was like, just Lord, I'm trusting you. Like, I'm trusting you that you will do amazing things and people would get saved and miracles will happen and Lord, that you will use me and like, I'm so expectant for this. I'm reading books. I'm reading God's generals and I'm reading all these books of people that did amazing things for God and I'm just so excited and I'm so on fire and I'm expected. My wife, on the other hand, she's sitting and watching series. She's sitting and watching movies and series and like, and I'm looking at, and I remember I was judging her. I was just like, wow, how can you do that? Like, we're about to go on this amazing mission trips, and you're sitting here and watching movies. You know, like, you're watching series. And I mean, it's like, how ungodly is that? And, but I didn't say anything, and I left on my mission trip. She left before me. And, like, the first few days, like, she's just sending me these messages of, like, I'm preaching to crowds of thousands and people are getting saved and blind eyes are being opened and you're like, people are getting healed and delivered and set free. The kingdom of God is being advanced. Like, it's just amazing. And I'm like, man, if Linda is experiencing that of the watching series, man, like the glory of God is about to come. Like, if I'm going to go on this mission trip, like, man, I'm prayed up. I'm ready. Like, stuff is going to happen. And what was interesting is, like, I went on my mission trip and nothing happened. Like, nothing. Like, and I came back and I was so disappointed. And I was just like, Lord, my wife is just like having this, she just had this amazing time. Her life was rocked. She was just blown away by the goodness of God. And I came back and I was just so disappointed. And I just said, like, Lord, what? How does this work? What happened? And the Lord said to me, Stoffel, it's my love. It's my love. You receiving my love and giving it away. That is the foundation of the kingdom coming and miracles taking place and people getting saved. People getting set free. It's my love. It's about receiving my love and giving it away. It's not about your efforts. It's not about your performance. It's about my love. And it, so at the end of the day, my life was also rocked and changed, but not on the mission, but what happened after the mission. What the Lord taught me after that mission just rocked my world so much. So, next verse says, Isaiah 30 verse 15 says, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." Such a beautiful verse. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your rest. The next verse there, in Psalms 116 verse 7 says, "Return to your rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." So what's amazing is that you can take leave and you can go and sit for 2 weeks on the beach of Mauritius or on the Hermanus beach and you can still not rest. Resting is not about sitting and doing nothing. Resting is found in the person of Jesus Christ. He is your Sabbath. So even while you are working hard, you can still rest. Your soul can still rest because you're in that place of Sabbath. You're in that place of Jesus. Okay? And that is where true rest is. Because you can sit on a beach and still stress and worry and fear, that word that Patrick brings, like fear and stress will still tire you, even though you're sitting and doing nothing. But true rest, like you see there, is found in Him as we go to Him. Okay, and I can sense that as people are sitting here, you're already receiving that supernatural rest. Okay, I can sense how the Holy Spirit is already bringing that supernatural rest, that supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. He's bringing it into your life. But what I want to do is, I want us to do something just practically. I'm going to play a song. It's just a beautiful song, Jane Johnson singing, and it's really on this topic that I'm referring, that I was speaking on. So I'm going to put on this song for you, and I want you to relax. I want you to relax as much as possible. If you want to lay on the ground, go and lay on the ground. If you want to lay on the chairs, lay on the chairs. If you want to just sit back and relax, if you want to go on your knees, you can do whatever you want to, but I want you to really just relax. And I want you to rest. I release a supernatural rest over each and every one of you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Rest, 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 and refreshing in the name of Jesus Christ. And as the song is going to play, it's going to minister to you, you just receive from Him that supernatural rest. And then after that, we're going to just have a time of just prophetic ministry and just speaking the word into your lives. Okay. Thank you. You can play the song. your supernatural rest. Jesus, we thank you that you are our Sabbath. And we thank you, Jesus. Oh, just thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you so much. We are so in love with you. Thank you for your rest and thank you for your peace that floods our hearts and our minds. We just give you all the honor and all the praise. Amen. So I want to encourage you in this week, today, tomorrow, whenever, just set out some time to just soak in his presence. Set out some time to just spend with him and really be refreshed. Okay, but bless you. Have a good week. There's some nice tea and coffee and rice there at the back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you enjoyed this moment with us. For more information, visit shofaronline.org.